Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. In tonight's Christmas Eve service, Reverend David Williams tells us that we should go out with the flame of Jesus in us to change the world. Please enjoy Reverend David's message and the special music on this special night.
Oh, The last of our readings this morning follows on from Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. That's on page 92 of your pew hymnals, or pew Bibles, if you can get a hand on one of them. So let's listen for God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How we see things changes. The things themselves don't, generally, but our way of seeing them does. Oh, I know, we like to think that things have changed around us in the way that when we reach a certain age, we notice that for some reason, publishers seem to have started using smaller and smaller fonts. Why is it that the paper is suddenly printed in 8-point Times New Blurry? We just don't know. But that is us changing, not the text. And it isn't just our eyes that change. We do. We change. And that changes the way that we see. Just the other day, I was wandering through an exhibit at a museum downtown as a way of killing time while we had family in town. And I found myself standing in front of a painting. It was a pop art painting, one of those paintings where you're like, is that art? I don't know. Is that art? This was a painting by Roy Lichtenstein, which you have to say just like that. It was a recreation, as most of his paintings were, of a comic book image blown up way large. And then suddenly, looking at this image, I had the strangest sense of deja vu, mostly because I had deja vu'd that exact object before. I realized, standing in front of this painting, that I had stood in front of exactly that same painting 31 years before and 3,700 miles away. 11-year-old me had been part of a field trip from the American school in London. And I went with a herd of other sixth graders through the National Gallery there. And then I remember that painting. I remember seeing it, but I saw it differently. What I saw was comic book. I saw fighter jets. And because my 11-year-old brain functioned the way 11-year-old boy brains do, I remember seeing an F-86 Sabre and a MiG-15. I don't know why I knew that. But I did. And I saw those things, and I saw a comic book picture blown up large that would be just awesome to have in my room. But I remember thinking, is this art? I mean, come on. I buy these things for just pennies. I remember thinking that. That was me. That was me. I saw that. I thought that. I stood there right in front of that image, and I saw it that way. And there it was in front of me again. Exactly the same object with the same image on it on the same scale, although I was seeing it from a little bit higher up. But it was different. I experienced it differently because I was seeing it through different eyes. One's connected to a soul that had 31 more years of life. I saw, which I hadn't before, how much painstaking work had gone into painting every single one of the dizzying field of tiny dots that mimicked the background color of a pulp comic book. I saw the sharpness and the boldness of the brushstrokes and felt the deep patience that would have had to guide the hand that created them. It was exactly the same painting, exactly the same thing, but it was different. And I still thought, cool picture, I'd like to have it in my house. I had a couple $1 million lying around. What we encounter in life changes how we experience things, and how we experience things, that shifts, even as those things themselves mostly remain the same. And so here we are on Christmas Eve, encountering a familiar place and a familiar story, an old, old story of angels and Mary and shepherds and first century tax policy, whatever that opening part was, and it gets to me. As we retell Luke's wonderful story of that birth, the essence of it remains familiar and unchanged throughout the years. Year after year after year, we hear of this young family journeying to Bethlehem. We hear of the humble birth in the lowliest of circumstances. We hear of the vision and the message that is given to those shepherds in the hills. We remember the possibilities that were born into that manger. That moment, as we hear it, is intended to bring hopes that would have gone well beyond the hopes of Mary and Joseph and the hopes of the shepherds. We are retelling an old story that should change us every time we encounter it. And we don't just retell that story, we retell other stories, older stories, that echo out across even older memories of the people that gave us that one. Stories that sing in harmony with the story of Christ in the manger. We hear, for example, a story over 700 years before that humble birth, as the prophet Isaiah speaks to the hopes that still sustained his people in the time of Christ. When Isaiah proclaimed all those years before Jesus, war was raging, and the poor of the world were oppressed, and people were struggling. There was war, and there was loss, and there was sorrow all around. And yet Isaiah looked out into that darkness and was able to declare that the people saw a great light, the light of the dawn of their hope. 700 years later in that manger, the need for the hope that was brought there was the same. And if you've looked around at all lately, it's much the same 2012 years after that. The intensity of that hope lingers for us. It is the intensity of our human hunger for a particular kind of newness. We are familiar with and tired of that old story of a world full of hatred, that old story of hunger and weeping and failure and sorrow. And we have always been tired of it. So in the story we recount tonight, in that firelight flickering over the manger, in the impossible softness of those first child breaths, we are proclaiming that a new thing has happened every time we tell the story. In the new life of that tiny infant, we are allowed to encounter something that lets us see the world differently. We see the promise of a human being who would give himself over fully to the cause of furthering God's love and presence in the world. We see how that child will change. We know from how the story continues how he will grow into adulthood, and in that man and the story of that man, we see the promise of our Creator to all of us. In that child that's been born for us, in that life that's been given to us, we see hope and a light that guides us towards a more just world. We see hope for righteousness among us, and we see a hope for peace that lasts. We encounter that every time we encounter the story, no matter where we are in life. And because we are always new, every time we hear this, this story is always new. And it should change us, should change how we see the world, because if we hear this story, really hear it for the new thing it is, if we embrace it, if we allow it to become a vital part of us, then it changes us, as every encounter does. We become different people when we stand in relationship to it. It can shift the arc of our lives. In that change, in the change in each of our hearts, lies the hope of this night and the hope of tomorrow and in all of our days. Let that Christmas hope live in you now. And especially let yourself see the world through its eyes. And in doing so, be changed. And walk into tomorrow being able to say that it really will be a merry and joyous Christmas. For all of you and for me. Amen. Everyone have a candle. Candle kicking around. Now would be the time to get it because now we're wrapping things up. But let me remind you that this is a 1847 building and we have exactly one exit. There's lots of us here. So let's be very, very careful with our lights this evening. This message brought to you by the session, which really likes to keep this building in the condition it's in, and us as well. Each of us has this candle, and we're all going to light it and pass it along from the Christ candle in the center. But in the passing of that light and in the singing we will share, that marks the joy of this season. Most of us have lived through a whole bunch of different Christmases, and we've encountered the same songs and the same hymns, and in many instances, this same place. But always it's a little different. Always we are a little different. And the relationships we have around us change a little bit every year. But what does not change is the promise of the story we have just heard. The promise of new life, transformation, and the coming of a world where we will live the grace that Christ promised us. As we light and pass this light, as we sing together, remember that the passing of that light doesn't end once we've blown out our candles and put it neatly into the flame-proof receptacle. We go out with that fire still in us. And that thing we bear in us is something truly new that will always be new. And that wherever it touches the world, changes it for the better. So as we go out into the Christmas night, once we're done singing, remember to bear that with you. So now, may the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this Christmas Eve and through Christmas Day tomorrow, and linger in us, our whole lives long. Amen.